Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. You can find them online at InvisibleFenceNW.com. The Dog Show is also brought to you in part by all the best pet care, all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. Check them out at AllTheBestPetCare.com. See where all their 9 locations are around Western Washington. It's a lovely day to take your dog for a walk. Cloudy, light rain.
Cool.
Beautiful. It's springtime in Seattle. It's actually, you know, it's warm out, though. The air is warm. Just a little wet, but it doesn't stop us. Always a nice day to take your dog for a walk. Even go somewhere new. New smells. Had a great interview last week with Eric Moran of Kennel Gear. And
there was a lot of Erics in the studio that day. There were two of us.
That was funny. I was listening to that beginning part, and you went after Eric's interview was over, and it was back to just you and I, and you said, the natural balance is restored.
That's right. That's right.
Made me laugh.
But we always love having guests in the studio, Erics or otherwise.
Yes, especially Erics. So I was in line at a store. I don't remember which store it was. A grocery store. And as it always does, a pet food ad caught my eye.
Mm.
And it was weird. These magazines were stacked.
Now, do you ever see ads for pet food that you approve of? Or do those just pass you by because it doesn't rile you up, it doesn't get you angry?
Well, unfortunately, not very often, because the companies that have the budget to sponsor larger
events,
right,
and magazines and whatnot,
right. So, but I think I would notice it regardless. I mean, if I see a dog, I'm always going to notice and see what it's about. So this one has a dog on it. So I saw this magazine and I was like, oh God, there's the whole back cover ad. And so I picked it up and it was Caesar's Way magazine.
Now, is that a magazine specifically about dogs? Oh, he's the dog whisperer, isn't
he? Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So he has a magazine now.
What is he telling our dogs, by the way? Why can't he speak it out loud?
Yeah, he must speak softly. So I was like, oh, I wonder what this is about, because people often ask me what I think about, especially him, not so much Victoria Steelwell, who's the other one who has a TV show.
She doesn't whisper. She shouts at dogs.
She doesn't. In a British accent, too. Yeah. And they're very different. They have very different kind of things that they do and philosophies and, you know, they kind of do a different thing for sure. And people often ask me, you know, what I think of the dog whisperer and, you know, and I've seen a few of his shows, but I don't know him well, but what I have seen, and it's been a while, seems like, well, first of all, I don't really have any major problems with him.
Sure.
Some people do. Some people can't stand him. Mm. It does seem like he kind of has his thing that he does, and like that's his thing, and this is actually really common, and this is so anyway,
he's got one thing that he specializes in.
I'll try not to dart away from myself. So he kind of has his thing that he does, and I suppose that's true with any professional. They kind of have their thing, but it seems like it, you know, it's always kind of the same spiel. Not that it's not effective sometimes, because I think he often is. And one thing that I do respect about him is that he works with dogs that I probably wouldn't touch, and dogs that I don't really come across very often either. You know, I can work with certainly different levels of aggression, but he works with dogs with a different level of intensity, and that's kind of what he's really drawn to.
And part of that might be just the TV show, though, because they want to, of course, make it exciting and have drama.
Yeah.
So they probably play up the angrier dogs, and they probably play up him using his catchphrase and stuff with the editing.
Well, they do have editing, for sure. So, you know, of course.
Unlike this show, which is completely live.
Totally live. they do have, he does have editing, but you can't, they're not going to be like, hey, Caesar, you know, why don't you work with all these like really aggressive bull breeds? Because it'd look really good on camera.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't know how to do it, there's no way that he'd be able to fake it. So
he
really does handle dogs that have a level of aggression that I'm not comfortable or really interested in working with. But I do work with a lot of aggression in general, and I certainly do work with all breeds. But anyway, that's kind of something that I do give him props for. He does seem to kind of have his thing that he, you know, I wonder, like his whole thing is like the dominance thing or the assertion, you know, the assertive thing, which is totally valid. But he's kind of got this big presence and does his little ch thing and is very sort of drill sergeant with dogs. And I wonder how he would do with like with really fearful dogs that would just shut down around somebody with really big energy. I wonder if he's able to, and I, like I said, I haven't seen his show that much. So maybe they do show that on some of his episodes, but for the most part, I see him working with a certain type of dog and behavior that do respond well to what he does. Anyway. So bottom line is when people ask me about him, I say, I got no problems with him. And I do like what he has brought into mainstream as far as the awareness of the importance of exercise and structure, because that, from what I see working with dogs in the Seattle area with my business Sensitive Dog, and you can find me online at sensitivedog.com, you know, that is something that is often missing, but it's really misunderstood too. It doesn't have to be like militant structure. It's just having the dog often understanding kind of what the boundaries are and what to do in certain situations and stuff. So anyway, I picked up the magazine and took it home, and I thought that I would sort of look through it and give some more, I guess, more specific responses to some of the questions that he answered in here, because, you know, what impressed me, I'm not going to get into them yet. We'll get into them in the a little bit later in the show, but there's like a little section where people have written in questions for him. And, you know, the thing that impressed me the most probably about this is that it's really, he's not really able to provide them any guidance in a paragraph with some of these. I mean, they're asking behavioral questions, and there's just so much more to know about it that I'd almost rather not give an answer than give a paragraph long answer to a question about why a dog's not listening to, you know, somewhere where there might be a dynamics, you know. I don't know. It's just tough to answer, tough for anybody to answer a complex question in just a paragraph. But, and then there's also some interesting products and some products that I wish weren't being advertised in here, but so is life.
Like the ad, for instance, that caught your eye that we started off this segment with.
Yes. And this ad that I'm looking at right now, pet food. But there are some interesting ones too. There's like, there's a whole bunch. It's actually a lot of advertisements. But there's a like dog walking jacket. So it's like a jacket designed specifically to meet the needs of dog walkers or people who are out with their dogs.
So the jacket is for the person?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and so it's
I was
like,
thinking it was for the dog.
No, there's plenty of those as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a, you know, got these special pockets for the poop bags and the ball and, you know, the leashes, and, you know, it's just sort of designed specifically for that. So it's
probably not essential, but sounds like a pretty good idea. Anyway.
I don't know. I wonder how they do. You know, I wonder how many people are actually like, I need a jacket. My dog walking is so intense
right.
that I need a jacket specifically for that.
The worst thing would be to put the dropping that you cleaned up in the pocket and then forget about it.
Oh, yes.
And then next time you go and put the jacket on, put your hand in the pocket, and then, uh-oh, why did I buy this jacket?
Yeah, no, we don't want that. Although, I was thinking, so it has a belt slash leash with clips on it, reflective piping, special treat liner pocket,
treat liner
extractable pickup bags, two leash clips for hands-free, I mean, you know, retractable keychain, all sorts of stuff, water bottle pocket. You know, it's interesting marketing. The one thing, though, that I notice is, like, when I'm done throwing the ball for my dogs, I have two cattle dogs and a dachshund, and they all actually enjoy, well, my one cattle dog likes chasing the ball, the other cattle dog likes chasing the cattle dog that's chasing the ball, and then my dachshund actually does like to fetch a little bit as well. But it's like putting the ball back in the pocket of the jacket that I'm wearing. I hope it's a jacket that I'm either ready to wash or that it's a jacket that's like devoted to taking the dogs out. So
right.
For that, I actually.
So it does make sense.
Yeah. Whether I'm going to go buy a special jacket. That's,
well, and then
you know,
the reflective piping and all that. That sounds like that's
could
be pretty helpful
yeah.
if you're out walking at night. And we certainly have the shorter days during the fall and winter. So it makes a lot of sense.
It's a true four-season convertible dog walking utility jacket.
Now that we've given them this much of a shout-out, maybe they'll advertise on the show.
Yeah, maybe I'll get a jacket to try out. It's called Let's Go Design. You can check them out online if you like. So I have a story about my coffee guy and his dog that I'm going to talk about when we come back from break. I also... One of my favorite things happened last week, Eric. There was a dog question on Jeopardy. And then I was actually participated in dog trivia last night at an event. That was fun. And there was a question that I got wrong, so I made sure to go and clarify. So I'm going to talk about that. And then I'm going to talk about some of these questions that were written into Caesar's Way magazine, because I picked that up to see what he's all about. And I'm going to answer them in a little more depth than he was able to in his one paragraph. So lots to come on The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that is fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you are a Dog Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Joan Serena, creator of Therapy Corner Store, servicing your animal needs through therapeutic music, massage, aromatherapy, and workshops. Helping people connect with their dogs and promote healing through touch and music with her instructional CD, Therapeutic Music with Canine Massage. Go to joansorita.com, that's joansorita.com, to order your Therapeutic Music with Canine Massage today. Or call 425-877-4824. That's 425-877-4824. JoanSarita.com. Therapeutic music, aromas, and massage for your dog.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Designing Health and Missing Link, we cover the world of animals. This week, April 29th, it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. But it's not going to be the show you're expecting. We will talk with some of our regulars, but not others. There are some major shakeups going on with a couple of our local shelters, and you'll just have to join me Sunday to find out what's going on. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Nice panting at the end of that one, Eric.
I always enjoy it.
Yes. So I wanted to talk. I just recently had a encounter with my barista at one of my regular drive-through coffee stands.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I often have, I go in the morning. And often I'm on my way taking my dogs out. So
now, is this one of those bikini espresso places that we hear so much about?
No, it's family friendly.
Okay. And dog friendly?
Yes, very. So I often have my dogs in the car with me as I'm driving through on our way to the park to get them out. And this is like kind of our regular routine in the mornings. And I don't know. He mentioned something about his, I don't know if it was because I was getting them out for exercise or something like that. And then he mentioned something about his dog. And I said, oh, you have a dog? And I said, well, what kind of dog do you have? I didn't know that he had a dog this whole time. And he has like a Chihuahua or Chihuahua mix or something like that. And he said,
just
yeah.
Just barely a dog.
That's not true.
Technically
Eric.
Qualifies
very
as
much
a dog,
so a
but
dog,
just barely.
So
just kidding, Chihuahua
yes,
owners.
Yes, very much so a dog. So he was like, I cannot get this dog tired. Like, I took her for a 3 mile walk, or jog even, and she'll come back and she'll still, you know, have all this energy. And it's like,
they've got little legs too. So they got to take twice as many steps or maybe 3-4 times as many steps.
Yeah.
So you'd think they'd get tired out quicker.
Yeah. And then it's not like he's telling me about a husky that he has or some breed that's meant for long distance endurance, you know, a little dog. And it's so common because, and so I told him, I think he knew that I worked with dogs, but not in the capacity that I do. So I
did
said,
not
well,
know he was talking to the host of the dog show with Julie Forbes.
That's right.
The Julie Forbes.
The owner of Sensitive Dog. I mean, this is what I've been doing for 10 years. And so I was like, well, this is what I do. Do you want me to give you a little bit of input about it? He was like, yeah. And it's so common, especially with little dogs, that that people need to be aware of the difference between mental and physical energy. Because with all dogs in general, but I see this especially with little dogs, they have this a different intensity, to generalize, this sort of different intensity about their mental energy, that you can just walk them all day long and they're still bored because you're not giving them that like mental work. My cattle dogs are like this as well. They're not small dogs, but they're very, very intellectually intense, and they want to be figuring things out. They want something to figure out. And I've talked about this before on the show about like what I call unemployment in dogs and how a lot of dogs don't have anything to do. They don't have anything to think about, to figure out. They don't have to think about where their food comes from. You know, they don't have to think about, you know, usually, especially in the Seattle area.
Right.
Don't have to think about keeping warm or whatever, which is great, you know, but they're bored. And so that's why the walking is like, I'm still bored. I'm exercised, but It creates a frustrated, it's like pent up mental energy. And so I had like a minute, less than a minute to kind of like give him a little boost.
Because other people were waiting for their coffee behind
right.
you,
not
getting
beeping
ready to
at
honk.
Me yet, but
it was on the cusp.
So I just told him, you know, something. Well, I told him about the mental energy thing, and he was like, "Oh," and I said something that you can do really easy. I asked him if his dog was food motivated, and he said, "Yeah, pretty well." And I said, "Okay, well, hide treats around the house and have her find them. You know, search for them." And we've talked about nose work quite a bit on the show. I have interviewed Miriam Rose, who's the owner of Northwest Nose Works, and a professional scent detection trainer. She's fabulous. I took all of my dogs through her intro to nose work class, and it's such a wonderful thing to do with your pet dog. So this is designed for people and their pet dogs, not because you're, you know, planning on working the border with your dog or actually doing professional nose activities or scent detection. But, you know, nose games is such a great way to engage your dog's brain, because it's like probably the main thing that they're designed to do or that they're so good at doing, and really what they're wired to do is to use their nose to find something that they want. Their noses are insanely sensitive. So to really tap into that and to give them an outlet to experience that is such a gift to them. So I so highly recommend, wherever you are in the country listening, nose work classes, look for them. Look for a certified nose work instructor. And if you're in the Seattle area or really greater Seattle area, Puget Sound even, you can check out Miriam Rose. Her website is nwnoseworks.com. She's got classes really all over Puget Sound, like from Squim to down south. So anyway, so I told him to play this find it game, and you know, that would be fun, and to you know, let him know that it can take a few repetitions for the dog to kind of get what it is, you know, what it is that you're doing and that they're supposed to search. And then I went through this morning with my dogs again, because like I said, it's part of our routine. And he said last night I played the find it game with her, and it took her a few times to kind of get the hang of it, which is expected. But then afterwards, she was like really calm and like seemed really satisfied. And it's like, yeah, well, they love something to do, love something to think about as a dog. And that's so missing. That, I mean, so many behavior problems that I get called for are, not all of them for sure, but a lot of them are, if not caused by, certainly contributed to by a lack of constructive outlet for that energy, for that mental energy. Because we tend to, as humans, just have our dogs as our pets that we love and as our companions and hopefully that we exercise with. But that really working relationship seems to be falling away, and that actually has been the nature of the relationship, really, as dogs have been evolving with people, has been working together, whether it be herding or hunting or guarding. Or, I mean, some breeds were bred to be companions, but they're still smart and they still want stimulation. And that's why I say, especially the little dogs.
Now, I wonder, I'm not a dog expert, obviously, and I'm not a detective, but I'm just hearing this story and I'm thinking Chihuahua not getting tired out, owned by a barista. Is it possible?
Stop giving
Chihuahua
the dog coffee.
Is getting himself a morning espresso as well, or getting herself a morning espresso, whichever.
I doubt it. And that brings up a very good point, because caffeine is very bad for dogs, as is alcohol. So I don't imagine anybody would think to give their dog caffeine.
One would hope.
Yes. But it is not good. Not good at all. So, but that's funny. Yeah, and he was like, yeah, she totally, you know, and she'll start to get the hang of it, so she'll be able to actually search for longer and longer periods of time, and then eventually you can get to the point with your dog that you know, put them in a room or have them wait on a bed or something while you go and place the treats around all over the whole space that you live in, and then release them and tell them to find it, and then they're off searching, and they're busy for, you know, however long that takes. And then they're kind of like, oh, that was fun mentally. But the importance of that mental energy, there is different, separate from the physical energy. And I see this a lot. People just think more exercise, more exercise, more exercise. But it, actually, you need to provide a different outlet for the mental energy, because exercise is kind of mindless. You know, if you're just walking, it's not really work. So, but also very important. So making sure that you're balancing the mental and physical energy. So that was great. So I've got these letters that I'm going to respond to when we come back from break. And then I'm also going to clarify the question. So I especially love, I played dog trivia last night. I had an event at the lobby bar in Seattle for a focus group for a logo for a new project.
I'm guessing you cleaned up and they're like, oh my God, that was a dog trivia hustler.
Not fair.
Not fair.
I did win the dog breed identification category. Our team did. But I did not get a perfect score on that, which of course is...
got to be a little devastating.
It is a little bit devastating. But it was a... they showed these pictures of dog breeds. There were actually three dog categories, but there was one category about dog breed recognition, which is one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put up a picture, and he got the photos off of the American Kennel Club website, which is where I always go to get my breed information. And so the photo that he put up, all of us on the team, and actually we had a very veterinarian on our team as well, so we were like totally stacked in the dog
expertise area.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually had another friend there who had to leave, but she's an animal control officer, and you know, if she had been there, I think we would have gotten a perfect score. But they had put up a so the dogs, there was a poolie that has like kind of like it's actually technically called a corded coat or cords, but it looks like dreadlocks.
Okay.
Sort of.
Poolie. I've never heard of the poolie.
Yeah, P-U-L-I.
I thought that was what Canadians eat with their French fries and the cheese curds.
Poutine.
Oh, okay. Different thing.
Different. Borzoi, Schipperke, that I spelled correctly, that I was excited about. But the last one, it was a Chinese crested, and we were like, oh, I don't know. Is it a Chinese crested or is it a Mexican hairless, which is also known as Xolo, which is short for another longer name that I can't pronounce. Anyway, so I was like, well.
You knew it was one of these foreign
dogs. I got it wrong.
Yeah.
We guessed Mexican hairless, and it was actually Chinese crested. So I went to the American Kennel Club website and looked up the two breeds so that I could be educated so that that would not happen again. And in retrospect, I can see, of course, because I have known especially Mexican hairless dogs that look very different. So anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about that, and then we'll get into these training and behavior questions from Caesar's Way magazine. I'm going to give my Julie's Way response when we come back. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
For home repair repair, remodel and construction advice, ideas and useful stories every Saturday from 10 till 11 a.m. Tune in to Constructing Whatever. With over 40 years of combined experience, hosts Tim and Lynn talk about whatever, from important need-to-know topics to fielding your questions about the latest industry news. It's Constructing Whatever, every Saturday morning, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This week, planning your home projects for the summer. Join the conversation this Saturday at 10 a.m.
Family-owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. Dr. Don's Automotive offers a free 35-point inspection. It's winterization time. Remember to have your coolant, tires, brakes, hoses, and belts checked to keep you and your dog safe this winter. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. So I'm just going to answer the question, trivia question that I got wrong last night about dog breed identification. And it was all the other ones I got right. But it was the Chinese crested versus the Mexican hairless question, and I guessed wrong. We all did. I was on a team. So the main thing, he posted a picture of Chinese crested that he took from the American Kennel Club website.
And you do want to be careful when handling the Chinese crested because many of them contain lead. So just you got to be careful. That's all I'm saying.
There's actually, I need to talk about this soon because there's something happening where there's a class action lawsuit being filed finally for a specific brand of chicken jerky treat. Because now there's been all this talk in the air about these jerky treats from China and how dogs are getting sick on them.
Right.
You know, and I don't know how many times, we're going to have this type of thing from products from China before we actually just stop sourcing.
Right.
And having
things produced. Especially food products.
Because how many times does it have to happen before we're like, okay, let's just not do this altogether because clearly it's not good. But I will talk about that. I'll look that up. More details on that. Thanks for reminding me about that with your comment about the Chinese crested.
But I think I was thinking of Chinese Crest now that I think about it, which is a toothpaste, which would be bad. But
Well, the description and photo that I was given in the trivia is next to the photo, a fine-boned, elegant toy dog that craves human companionship, comes in two varieties. The hairless has soft, silky hair on its head, which is the crest, tail and feet. Wherever the body is hairless, the skin is soft and smooth. The powder puff is entirely covered with a double soft straight coat. The two types often come from the same litter. Any color or combination of colors is allowed. And so that was the Chinese crested. And then when I looked up Mexican hairless, which is under Xolo, which is actually spelled X-O-L-O, totally different. I mean, if you're really looking at the details, especially in the description, the Xolo, it says it's an ancient breed, a natural breed from Mexico, comes in three sizes, two varieties, the hairless and the coated. And the hairless variety, the skin is tough, protective, smooth, and close fitting. So a different description of the skin and how soft the skin is. But that the Mexican hairless really actually truly is almost totally hairless. And the hair that it does have is pretty rough and black. And I think it can come in other colors. But whereas this Chinese crested is much finer, softer hair. So anyway, should have known. Now I know. And I will not make that mistake again if I am ever presented with breed identification having to do with Chinese crested versus Mexican hairless or cholo. So fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah, I think right? That's how it goes. Yeah.
Okay. One thing that was interesting, though, where it says, is this the right breed for you? When it talks about the breed's temperament for the cholo, typical cholo temperament is calm, tranquil, aloof, and attentive.
Sounds like a cat. I think that would work out all right.
Well, what does aloof and attentive mean, though? Because aren't those two opposite things?
True enough. But it does sound like a cat because they're both aloof and attentive.
Yeah.
Just when depends if you've got food.
Right. When they want to be. Yeah, I was like, oh, aloof and attentive. Wonderful. I don't really know. I guess.
Schizophrenic.
Depends on the mood. So there were a couple. I was talking in the earlier segment of the show that I happened upon a Caesar's Way magazine. Caesar Milan, of course, is the dog whisperer who I am somewhat familiar with. I've seen a few of his shows. I've read one of his books. So I'm kind of familiar with him, but I'm not like, I haven't seen a ton of his episodes and I don't really follow him.
You're not hanging out together on the weekends.
No, we're not.
Yet.
Not yet, no.
Who knows? After this hits the iTunes
podcast, maybe he'll be listening.
It's entirely possible.
And thank me for the input. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he had, and like I said earlier too, you know, he has a paragraph space to answer these questions and it's really not enough. That's why, like a lot of people, I think doctors experience this a lot too, but when people find out that I work with dogs and behavior and training, they're like, oh, you do? My dog? And then go in and tell me all
launch
about
right
their dog.
Into the dog issues.
And then look at me waiting for me to like...
Give them a
I'm like,
sentence.
Am I working right now?
Right.
Oh. Anyway, so, and it's hard. There's a lot of times it's like, I can't, you know, there's no way that I can even answer that in just a couple sentences. I'd really need to, you know, meet with you, sit down, meet your dog, talk to you more and get more details. So I definitely will give him that it's just not a good venue to be answering these types of questions. But there are just a couple of things that kind of stood out to me that I thought I'd share. One that was very interesting. So, you know, he's all about being the pack leader and stuff, which is in general, not having to do necessarily with him, but maybe a little bit. But there's this whole like misunderstanding of really leadership, and leadership does not have to be intimidating. So let me just say that. I could go on for a while about that. But anyway, it says, question, I'm having trouble with my German Shepherd. Okay, German Shepherds are like the most sensitive breed, one of the most sensitive breeds as far as emotional sensitivity to their owners. Hmm. She's 6 months old, so she's just hit adolescence. She didn't write that. She said she's 6 months old and I'm 16. Two adolescent females. So I guess she sees me more like a sibling than a pack leader. She's very obedient and walks well with my mom, but when I try to walk her, she goes insane. Anytime I try to assert my dominance, she seems to take it as a joke. I talk to her in a firm voice and do all the same things my mom does, but she doesn't respond to me the same. She always bites me, play bites, but not my mom. I've tried touching her neck quickly like you do and popping her on the nose, but she just turns around and bites me again. She never hurts me, but it would be nice to pet my dog without being bitten. She'll obey basic commands like sit and stay, but she won't stop jumping on me, biting me, and pulling on the leash. How do I assert my dominance to her in a positive way? And could this just be something she'll grow out of?
Hmm.
And then he's got like five sentences to answer that.
Right.
Which, you know, like I said, is not enough for anybody, but... interesting. So some things that stand out to me about that. You've got two adolescent females. It's a German Shepherd. So it's a dog that's like very aware of everything. And to me, when she says, but when I try to walk her, she goes insane. That is not like, oh, she just blows me off and doesn't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like a really strong reaction to that girl being on the end of the leash. And this girl is acknowledging that she's not being an effective She's not effectively establishing herself with the dog.
Right.
But, you know, something that, you know, where she's really, I think, trying too hard and doing it in a way that's she's not authentically connected to. And part of that is her age as well. but to definitely not be going through these motions. Like she said, I've tried touching her neck quickly like you do, meaning like the dog whisperer does, and popping her on the nose. But she just turns around and bites me again. Like, that's the thing about the dog whisperer that I think can be problematic, especially in situations like this, because Caesar's doing this, like, touch on the shoulder or touch on the neck, and it's a way to kind of, like, get the dog's attention and correct the dog. But he's got all of his energy and presence behind that. He's actually there with the dog. And then he's got that sound that he makes, and I've talked about this on the show before a couple times, where he does that sound. And so now, because he does that, and he, in some cases, gets the dogs to listen to him, or the dog kind of looks at him when he does that, and he often does that with this touch on the shoulder. Now we have, you know, a lot of America thinking that there's this, that something about that sound that works. So we've got people, you know, doing the sound at their dogs, and maybe the dog, like, looks at them after the first few times and is like, oh, you've never made that sound before. And then we think, oh, it got their attention. And then eventually they just tune it out because it's just a sound. There's nothing magic about it.
You mean the dogs don't watch the show? They don't know what their role is?
No. But this girl's got to be careful, because the dog does not respect her, obviously. And that's what she's speaking to. She says, the dog doesn't respect me, but she needs to stop doing these. She needs to stop correcting the dog, because you, in order to give a correction, you have to have the dog's respect. And it can't, you know, there's so much nonverbal. The whole point is that it's nonverbal communication, but there's so much to it. And you really have to be, you have to have the relationship with the dog, especially if she's doing stuff like popping the dog on the nose, which I wouldn't recommend doing anyway. But she's basically just irritating the dog, and the dog's 6 months old, so she doesn't really know what's going on either. I'd also really be curious to know about, and this is something that was not spoken to either, but if I were going to their house to talk to them, I would be very attentive to the relationship between the girl and the mom, because sometimes if there is tension between people in the pack, the person that the dog is bonded to the most, the dog, it's like a triangulation kind of, where, like, let's say
the dog's choosing sides.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there some, it's not so much the dog's choosing sides, but the dog is picking up on attention, or not attention, but tension in that relationship between the two people.
Mm-hmm.
Is, does the mom, you know, and this may not be the case, but it'd be something I'd be looking at. Does the mom want the dog to listen to the daughter? You know, does the mom have feelings about, this is my dog? And, you know, so there's like all that kind of, especially with the German Shepherd. But there's like all that really interesting. That's why I love what I do so much. This, all this human dynamic too that can be going on, and like, okay, well, you know, what is really the cause of this? And it, the point is that to really figure out where the dog is coming from, and to really understand the dog's perspective, so that you can then come up with a solution. And then it's about coaching the humans as well. So that was an interesting one. And of course, you know, Caesar just says to be patient and, you know, keep trying. And I actually would have liked him to say to actually stop. What, you know, to stop doing what you're doing, to not do, not to try, to try not to do what I do, because, you know, it's not appropriate. But again, hard to address those complex problems in just a paragraph in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a quick break, and there'll be more to come on The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors, or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat. so your dog will stay away from your cat's litter box and food bowls. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the dog show discount. Invisible Fence, for the life of your pet.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. Or follow them on Facebook.
More choices, more topics, more shows. One station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Dreaming these dreams for free. That's just my dog and me. I never felt so free. It's just my dog and me.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. God, I love that song. I say that most times that you play it, Eric.
That's why I try and squeeze it in at least once a month. John Hyatt.
I haven't heard Electric Boogie in a while, but that's because we haven't had Invisible
Fence on. We haven't
Fence
had the
on.
Great folks, yeah, from Invisible Fence on, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because I, one of my favorite things, like I'll be, if I'm out somewhere walking through the woods with my dogs, and my dogs get to be off leash because we're like in the country, and just walk, you know, going for a walk or a hike and having my dogs walking, you know, doing their thing. And there's like such pleasure for me in doing that. It's such a simple thing, but something that I most enjoy doing in the world. Either on a beach or, you know, outside somewhere beautiful mm-hmm. and natural with my dogs, and we're just together. Like, I really feel that sense of pack, and I just love that. And I think that's what I connect to with that song. So I've been speaking to some questions because I picked up a copy of Caesar's Way magazine. Caesar, of course, is the dog whisperer. And I've never read his magazine, and I'm often asked what I think about him and his whole thing working with dogs, because we do something, we have a similar job. You know, I don't have any major problems with him. It's, you know, tough to try to portray what you do in detail. And I wonder about his editing, because he does have editors. So I wonder if he has dogs that he like, that don't do well with a very big, strong energy presence. And, you know, he must have failures, because everybody does. So I'm curious about that. Of course, they're not going to show that on the show, but there's a section in his magazine where people write in, and he really only has like, you know, a paragraph or two to write a response. But I spoke to one about a teenage girl that wrote in who's having a hard time establishing herself with her teenage female German Shepherd. So surprise, surprise, the shepherd works beautifully for the girl's mom, but basically flips the girl off every time she tries to assert herself, and she's not being effective at it. But anyway, so I answered that in the last segment. If you've missed any part of this show or would like to hear any of our past over 160 episodes. They are all archived online. You can find us on dogradioshow.com. Go to the podcast page, and you'll find all of the shows from the most recent to all the way down, if you scroll down, to our very first episode over 3 years ago. And you can just click on the play button, and the show will automatically start playing right from your computer, so make sure your sound is on. You can also find us on iTunes as a free audio podcast, so all of our shows are available for free to download on iTunes. And you just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, and you'll find us there as well. So here's another one that I want to talk about today, and I'll have to do it a little bit quickly because we're running out of time, but it's Who's the Boss in Bed? When I'm not in bed, here's the question. When I'm not in bed, the dog often sleeps in my spot. A while ago, I came to bed in the dark, and he was in my spot. I pushed him to move, and he growled. We banished him from the bedroom for about 10 days. Since then, my wife has put pillows on my spot to make sure he is not there when I come in. But during the day, he still likes to sleep in my spot. He obeys me with commands, he heals well, and overall, he's an awesome dog. Is the bed dominance an issue that I should be concerned about? And he, Caesar writes, it's not dominance. It's a situation in which the dog's resting and in a sleeping state and is startled in a dominant way. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Startled in a dominant way, but it's not dominance. Growling reaction is natural and instinctual, not dominant. You know, and then he says, next time you want your dog to move, be sure you are aware of your own energy. If you approach the dog in anger and frustration, your dog will react to that energy, which I do agree with. You generally don't want to meet aggression with aggression because it just feeds into it. Make sure the next time you move him, you do it in a calm and relaxed way. And then he said you can also just keep your door closed, but that since he listens to you in other respects, you know, it's not a big deal, basically. Use the same principles in your other training. Now, this one's tough to evaluate without having really seen the dynamic. But, you know, if it's a one-time thing, maybe the dog was startled, but it can really be. I feel like he played the dominance issue down a little bit on this. You know, it doesn't say how old the dog is. That's really important. And of course, it's hard to tell in just a letter really what's going on, because this is potentially something having to do with a relationship dynamic. I mean, if the dog is 2 years old and this happened for the first time, maybe it's not just a one-time thing. Dogs hit adulthood at about 2 years of age. So a lot of times, aggressive behavior or territorial behavior really doesn't show up until the dog really starts to view themselves as an adult. So I'd be curious as to the dog's age, and you know, there's a lot of information that's left out. Of course, it's hard to answer these questions, one, with such little information, and then two, with not much space to respond either. Pretty much impossible to cover all the bases. But it sort of struck me as interesting that he basically really totally dismissed it as a dominance thing, because the bed is a very valuable space to occupy, and if there is a sort of dynamic issue between people and dog, it can often play out over the bed. I see this a lot, and well, not a high percentage of my clients, but over the years, you know, issues around the bed, and sometimes it's not dominance, but sometimes it is. And so it's important to really be clear about that. So I was kind of surprised that he was like, it's not dominance. And he may be right about that, but it is, like I said, hard to tell just based off of that little snippet. But I did like what he said about not meeting it with aggression. I think that that is important. And what I would recommend is that he just really work on creating the dog getting off the bed as a command, like off, which means all four paws on the ground, and then do it in a way that the dog actually really looks forward to. So off the bed, and you could have a leash on the dog. And so if the dog doesn't know the word, you could guide the dog off the bed. And then as soon as the dog gets off the bed, yay, good off. Give your dog a reward, praise him, and then get him up on the bed again, and then do it again off, lead the dog off the bed. And then as soon as they get off the bed, yay, good off, good off. Praise, treat, 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 you know, reward. So that the dog's like, cool, you're not trying to take anything away from me here. This is actually something that I look forward to. But I was really surprised because Caesar's all about like leadership. His whole thing, his whole brand is be the pack leader. Leadership, leadership, leadership. And then he's like, oh, this, you know, your dog growling at you over the bed, that's not a dominance thing. I was like, what? And I don't know. Like I said, I'd be curious to know how old the dog is and stuff. Maybe it's not, but it's definitely something to be kind of to look into more. So anyway, kind of interesting to look at that and answer. A lot of people, like I said, ask me what I think about other various like celebrity trainers like Caesar Milan or Victoria Stilwell. And so there's more specific information about maybe our differences and some of our similarities as well. All of our shows, like I said, are archived on our website. We are on Facebook, so you can find us at The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Facebook and be a part of the conversation in between weeks.
I think Caesar would make a great guest on the show,
too.
So if he does catch the podcast, have him give us a call or any of his people.
That would be an interesting conversation.
Give us a call because we'd love to have him on the show, I think.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.